And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 183. And as always, we're coming to you live, well, almost live, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. My name is Tom Harris, and I'm your host. So here we are with the penultimate issue of Thor, God of Thunder, and the epilogue to The Last Days of Midgard. But before we go into that, I just wanted to remind everybody that we do have a Lee Kirby tribute show, sort of a retrospective of this first important chunk of the Thor continuity. And if you want to be involved, and I would love for everybody to be involved, you can email us your comments at radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And you can also, get a hold of us on Facebook. We have a Radio Free Asgard Facebook group. Just look for us and you will find us. All right, so we don't have a whole lot else to talk about here at the top of the show. I think I actually covered most of it last time. But before we go on to our review, I just have a real quick shout out here. Big shout out here to my old friend Suco Sullivan. And I don't mean to say that Suco is old, but we've been friends for a long time, and that's because, of course, we were both involved in United Kingdom Radio way back in the old days, back in 2010, back in the Stone Age. So, hello, Suco, and glad to be back in touch with you, see that you're not completely fallen off the face of the earth. And see, I'm still doing this, still doing this podcasting thing, as astounding as that is, almost 200 episodes into the show. Anyway. All right, so we do have the issue of Thor, God of Thunder to cover, so here it is.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
Yes, indeed, and we are here with Thor, God of Thunder, number 24, the penultimate issue. And we have The Last Days of Midgard epilogue here. Cover date is September of 2014, retailed for $3.99. Cover art is by Agustin Alicio and shows Thor standing forlornly in the ruins of Broxton. Laying on the ground is a big sign that says, "Welcome to Broxton, neighbors to the gods." And we have, traffic kind of scattered around, van knocked over in the middle of the street. Everything's covered in dust and smog. And Thor is basically the most colorful thing here. And Thor looking very much like the movie Thor on the cover of this. Anyway, we open up to the splash page where we have the inevitable recap here. But first, I'm going to give you the credits. Jason Aaron was the writer. Agustin Alicio was the artist from pages 1 to 18. Isad Rebic was the artist from pages 19 to 20. Ives Sforzina was the color artist on pages 19 and 20. VC's Joe Sabino was the letterer. Agustin Alicio was the cover artist. Pascal Campion did the variant cover, which we don't know what it is. John Moisan was the assistant editor. Will Moss, the editor. Axel Alonso, the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada, the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. And we have our little roll call here. Thor. When Thor's adopted hometown of Broxton, Oklahoma, was taken over by Roxxon Energy Corporation, the God of Thunder saved the people of the town. But not the town itself. Broxton was destroyed. Not by Ulic and his troll brethren, but rather by the monstrous CEO of Roxxon, also known as Dario Agger the Minotaur. In his quest for corporate and world domination, Dario Agger took Thor to the absolute brink. After suing the God of Thunder and destroying Broxton, Agger transformed into the monstrous Minotaur so that he and his troll allies could battle Thor in a more physical way. Despite all Agur's advantages, Thor still defeated him. In the aftermath, Agur managed to slither away from the authorities, a fact which is sure to annoy Roz Solomon, part of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s environmental action team and Thor's newest ally. Agent Solomon was nearly defeated by trolls before she climbed her way out of their pit and disposed of her attackers. Thanks to her efforts, she made sure that there was an Earth left for King Thor. In the far future, King Thor fought with all his might to turn an old Galactus away from the now barren Earth. In spite of the combined efforts of King Thor and his three granddaughters, Galactus still tried to feed. Thor was finally able to defeat the Devourer of Worlds, but only by taking up All Black, the Necro Sword, the dangerous and all-consuming weapon of Gore, the God Butcher. With Galactus defeated, it looks like King Thor may have prevented the last days of Midgard. Epilogue. Adieu, Midgard. Adieu. And we continue on with the story. And we open up in the ruins of Broxton, and lots of ruination around. And Dario Agger is having a press conference, so I obviously he didn't really slither away as much as we thought he did. And he's giving a little speechifying here. "This was once a quiet little town called Broxton. But then a sickness came to this place, a danger that could not be stopped. And that danger's name was Asgard. Look around you, ladies and gentlemen. This is what happens when we allow gods to walk the earth." And there's a few reporters around. Not very many, obviously. "Mr. Agger, what was..." "No questions, please. I'm afraid I'm still recovering from this entire trying ordeal. And besides, now is not the time for questions, but for answers. I'm told the town's attackers were trolls. Vile creatures. I barely escaped their clutches myself. Some of my legal team were not so lucky, God rest their souls. As you can see, the trolls laid waste to the entire area, including Roxxon's recent endeavors here. And just when we had this town of a full financial recovery, such a tragedy. And what were trolls doing in Oklahoma, you may ask? Why would they attack one of the quietest, most peaceful towns you could ever imagine? Why, indeed? It's our fault, I suppose, for allowing a city of self-described deities to hover unregulated in the skies above the American heartland. Trolls and ogres may be a normal part of their lives, but they shouldn't be of ours. That's why something must be done, ladies and gentlemen, before this happens to your hometown. These so-called gods aren't my god, and I don't think they're yours. So if you ask me, it's about time these Asgardians went back to wherever they came from." And we shift scenes to Roz Solomon, and she's hovering near Asgard in her hovering car thingy. And she's on the phone to a familiar person, as is Jennifer Walters, also known as the She-Hulk. And she is in her civilian guise. Of course, she's She-Hulk all the time, isn't she? So this big green woman on the phone.
"I can hear shouting, Jennifer. I suppose that's not a good sign."
"Always depends on who's doing the shouting. But this time, no, it's definitely not good.
I did get Roxxon's injunctions against Thor lifted. So there's that, but that's not your biggest problem, Agent Solomon. Have you seen the news? Whatever line Roxxon is feeding people, it's working. There's already talk in Congress of revoking Asgardia's embassy status. We can still fight this, Roz. I have the names of some good PR people and some lobbying firms, but if I know Thor, this isn't the kind of fight he's built for. You're his girlfriend, Agent Solomon. I'm sure he listens to you. If you want my advice, this is one fight you should probably talk him out of."
"I'm not his girlfriend."
"Are you sure? Because I could have sworn that Tony told me."
"Thanks, Miss Hulk. Hanging up now."
And we have an ad here for the Avengers Custom Edition number 1, which we are going to ignore, as we will also ignore the MidtownComics.com ad on the facing page. Roz lands on, the landing strip of Asgardia. There doesn't seem to be a rainbow bridge or anything here, but we do see Heimdall here. And Roz gets out of her car.
Hello? Is it all right if I park here?"
"The eyes of Heimdall see all, Lady Solomon of S.H.I.E.L.D. Your flying chariot will be safe in Asgardia. You have my solemn vow."
Okay, cool. Not sure if I should tip you now or, anyway, I'm looking for Thor.
At the moment, you do not need eyes as sharp as mine in order to find the God of Thunder. Simply try following your ears. And there's a rumble coming from the city of Asgardia. And she's like,
oh, I guess he's seen the news.
And we shift to Thor's castle here. And Thor's there sitting on a bench, or I guess it's a bench. It's not really a throne, is it? No, not really. I mean, it's just kind of a random seat. And so we have, you know, I'm sitting there, and there's other Asgardians kind of milling around, and I guess this is the All-Mother.
Is the indoor thunder really necessary, Thor?
It is for me, All-Mother. If I could hear what was being said inside that chamber, I fear for what I might do. Have they voted already? Or is there still a chance the fools might see reason?
The Congress of Worlds are hardly fools, my son, and I'm afraid at this point their decision is a foregone conclusion.
How is this possible? How has Roxxon bewitched even the minds of the gods?
Roxxon may be masters of lies, but there is still some truth in what they say. We are a danger to these people. For a time, our presence here in Midgard was worth the risk. We needed that time to rebuild, to renew our strength, and our sacred bond with this realm. But that time has since passed. There's a growing unease in the Nine Realms, as you have seen. Malekith and his dark elves continue to scheme from their swamps in Svartalfheim, and every day there are more worrisome rumblings from the land of the Frost Giants. Some even claim they've seen the war fires of Muspelheim burning once again. Whatever is coming for us, my son, we must face it, out there, out where we belong.
I never thought I would see the day when Asgard would bow to villains such as Roxxon. If my father were here...
If your father were here, his All-Mother would tell him what she is telling you now. It has been decided. Asgardia is leaving. Gaea will remain on Midgard, as befits the Earth-Mother, while Idun has been sent ahead to scout for new homes along the World Tree. I am now the one true All-Mother, and as your All-Mother, I command you to do your princely duty, or I will find someone else who can carry that hammer.
Ooh, a little bit of foreshadowing there.
But as your mother, as the woman who raised you, know that I understand your pain. This does not mean that we are abandoning the people of Midgard. I would never ask such a thing of you. But if there is one lesson that every mother must learn, it is that sometimes we must let go of the things we love the most.
And Thor is looking pretty forlorn by all that. And Roz is approaching the big, huge doors of Thor's hall. And she's thinking to herself,
wow, this place makes the helicarrier look like my first apartment.
And as she's coming in, the All-Mother is coming out.
Agent Solomon of S.H.I.E.L.D., I presume.
All-Mother Freya, forgive me, but I never quite learned how to curtsy.
It doesn't take much to fall in love with my son. Everyone who meets Thor falls in love with him. But it takes a special kind of courage to be loved by him, to stand strong in the eye of that storm. May you be blessed with courage, Rosalind Solomon.
Okay, thanks.
And she goes on in, and Thor's leaning up against the balcony, looking forlorn, as Thor's doing in this issue, it seems.
I met your mom. She seems nice. You haven't been telling people that I'm your girlfriend, have you?
And Thor's not responsive. He's like,
Thor?
Roxxon has won. Dario Agger is a murderous monster who consorts with trolls and yet walks free. And now, even the Congress of Worlds has bent to his will. It has been decided. Asgardia must go.
You're leaving Earth?
Aye.
But what about Broxton?
The first time I remember laying eyes upon Midgard, the people still lived in caves and fought another with stones and sticks. In those days, I came here only to make war and revelry, to be worshipped and feared, and above all else, to destroy. And he looks out over the destroyed Broxton, and there's still smoke rising up. The world and its people have changed so much since then. Have I?
All I know is you won't find the answer up here.
And we shift scene slightly to the town of Broxton itself, and people kind of shambling among the ruins here.
we have the Asgardians arriving here, and I'm not really sure who's talking here, but I'm going to just kind of assume that it's Thor.
People of Broxton, I know this is a time of great hardship for you all, but the gods of Asgard would humbly ask of thee a favor, and they bow down. May we please be of assistance.
And we have Thor kind of helping the cleanup effort. He's carrying a green car around on his shoulder. And he's joined by Jane Foster, who apparently is, she still has her head all bandaged up, but she's apparently helping with first aid and all that.
Buildings, that's all they were. We're burying buildings here today, Thor, not people. I want you to remember that.
These were more than mere buildings, Jane Foster. Over there was once Joe's motel and Fritchman's country kitchen. Across the street stood Sankovich's Shop and Go and Bill's Diner. When I brought Asgard to this land, there was life here, life and history and strength. Now as Asgard leaves, there is nothing. I did this, gods help me. I am not worthy of this world.
Thor, when Asgard leaves, please tell me you're not going with it.
Leave Midgard? No. No, that I could never do, though I was hoping that you might.
What?
It is more important than ever that somebody speak for Midgard in the Congress of Worlds, and I know of no finer candidate. Oh, God.
Thor, that is quite the honor, but I don't know that I'm qualified to...
Show someone on this planet who knows more about dealing with Asgardians than the job is theirs.
But I have cancer. I have treatments.
We have a rainbow bridge that will take you anywhere in the cosmos you need to go.
If this is you trying to use magic to cure my condition, we've talked about that.
I respect your wishes, Jane Foster, as will all of Asgard. You will be an honored guest in the realm eternal. But if you so desire, you may even bring this boyfriend of yours. I'm sure we can find him suitable work, perhaps in the stables.
Actually, I broke up with Walter a few weeks ago. Nice guy, but I suppose having cancer is good for helping you put things into perspective. Sometimes I guess it's just best to move on. Thor, are you hearing me?
Aye. Fare thee well, Walter, seller of real estate. Fare thee well, Broxton. And they go wandering away.
And we shift to a different part of Broxton where we have Dario Agger. Dario Agger is leaving, and there's like a TV camera here, and somebody's like, Mr. Agger.
Nothing further, people. I believe my work here is done.
Yeah, but guess what? Mine isn't.
And Ross Solomon comes in and just kind of big old punch across the face, breaks his sunglasses, sends him flying with a crack, and he knocks him down. And she's immediately grabbed by bodyguards and says,
I just wanted you to know that this isn't over. I will prove what you did here and nail your bullheaded butt to the wall for it. You've got my word on that.
And he looks up and his eyes are glowing red, but I guess right now he's not changing.
And you have my word, Agent Solomon, that I will sue you into oblivion for this assault.
Great idea. Too bad you murdered all your lawyers. See you around, Dario.
And we have a scene here of Asgardians apparently helping to clear things up. And we have Volstagg here and Sif. And I just noticed that this armor that the All-Mother Freya is wearing, it's Big Barda's armor. I mean, not exactly, but it's really close to Big Barda's armor. I don't know why I didn't see it before. Probably because it's not colorful. And Big Barda's armor was always really colorful, but it's the same basic design.
Where is Thor? Says the All-Mother.
Not here, I'm afraid, my liege, says Sif.
I saw him flying up to Asgardia moments ago. Perhaps the prince could not bear to witness this final farewell, says Volstagg.
Nevertheless, the time for farewells has come.
And the All-Mother's speechifying here.
Good people of Midgard, today is a day of great cosmic providence. With heavy hearts, we, your friends immortal, must leave you now. The destiny of Asgard lies once more among the stars. But even though we may soon be worlds apart, know this. You, the lords and ladies of Broxton, shall always have gods in your service. So swears Freya, all mother of Asgard. But we leave you with more than simple promises. Please accept these gifts as a token of our eternal gratitude. Gold from the treasuries of Asgard, enchanted fruit trees that will bloom for 1,000 years, a fountain that will never run dry. May the light of the Bifrost shine forever in your skies as a reminder of the sacred bonds our worlds share. Until the end of time, the eyes of Asgard will be ever upon thee.
And they head up over the Rainbow Bridge, and we really ought to have the gods entering Valhalla music here.
Are they really leaving, Mommy?
Aye, little one.
They didn't fix the town.
Shh, honey.
Well, where will we go? This was our home.
And may it always be so, says Thor. And he lands on the ground here with a thoom, has delivered this giant building to to Broxton. It's like his giant skyscraper, all Asgardian and Kirby looking, which is actually pretty cool looking. People of Broxton, I cannot give you back what you have lost, but may this serve as a small token of the debt that you are owed by Thor and all of the gods. Go inside, little one, and choose your room.
You mean I get to live in that?
If you so wish, yes.
I so wish.
And the little kid starts running towards the skyscraper. And Roz is like, talking to the All-Mother.
Did Thor just tear off a chunk of Asgardia and give it away? Can he do that?
That is Bill Skirnir, greatest of all the halls of Asgard.
Okay, so whose castle was that?
Who do you think, Agent Solomon? It was Thor's.
So I guess these Okies are going to go live in Bill Skirnir. And that ought to be interesting to see how that works out. I mean, nothing could go wrong there, could it? And they all start filing in. And we see the islands of Asgardia kind of sailing up into the sky, leaving a sort of pseudo-rainbow-looking trail behind them. And we get a little bit of exposition here. And so the gods of Asgard return once more to the heavens, though far less alone than when they first arrived. Just as the earth itself would never be alone, as long as there was thunder in the sky. And we see that Jane Foster actually is going away with the Asgardians. And she's here with the All-Mother.
I will not lie to you, Jane Foster. We have much work to do.
I wouldn't have it any other way, Your Majesty. So what do you think of the new girlfriend?
And we see Thor and Roz down on the surface. And Thor saying, I am going to drink vast amounts of mead this evening, and then I suppose I must find a new place to sleep.
I gotta say, you're taking this all rather well, considering your home just disappeared into the clouds.
Aye. Asgard will always be my home, but as my mother taught me, sometimes we must let go of the things we love. Come, Agent Solomon, mead is calling. So where does Thor get that kind of mead on Earth? I mean, mead is not, I don't know, there aren't people making huge volumes of mead here on Earth. I mean, you're lucky if you can find it. We then shift scenes to Roxxon Island, one of the floating factories, and it's all gloomy around, and there's lightning going on, and Dario Agger is having a meeting with a troll, probably Ulic.
I made war with a god this week, and leveled an entire town just to spite him. Can you imagine how that makes me feel?
Like a troll, says
Bored. Roxxon cannot be stopped by man or deity. We will ruin this world. We will defile it and leave it dead in a ditch. And then what? We move into space, I suppose. We've already begun mining on Mars and the moons of Jupiter, but something about it still seems so tame. Where do your kind come from, Ulic?
I was born in the caves beneath Nornheim in the realm of Asgard, back when Asgard was still a world unto itself. Since then the trolls have scattered to the wind. These days you'll find us in the bedrock beneath most all the nine realms.
Nine realms? Tell me, good king of the trolls, tell me more about these other realms, and who I might need to kill in order to have them.
And then we shift to the far future here, and a different artist. We have Isad Rebic now doing the art, and we are in the far future on New Midgard, which is just the old Midgard. It's just now he bled on the ground, and now there's all these little red flowers growing everywhere. And old man Thor is there with his three granddaughters. They're talking to him here, and Thor's just kind of... looks like he's just kind of wandering around in the weeds.
We forged another river, grandfather, says Frigg. What would you like to name this one?
Roz.
Roz? Jane? Steve? What kinds of names are those for rivers?
The unforgettable kind. Come, grandchildren. We have much work to do. We have an entire world to regrow.
And we have on the next page the epilogue of the epilogue. Elsewhere, at the end of time, the planet once known as Mars. And we see Galactus, not as dead as we supposed he was.
Another dead world, but not the one I desired. Merely the one that the great lord of Asgard gave me leave to consume. Gave me leave. The arrogance of that god. If it wasn't for that damned black weapon of his, I would have throttled him and his precious earth. At least the blasted weapon was destroyed so that the next time we meet, he will have no chance to...
What? What is this?
What has... And we see the growing shadow kind of creeping over Galactus and kind of oozing into Galactus, and you know what that means. Yes, indeed. And he starts to make grrrr noises, and then he starts to laugh. Grrrr. And so is born the Butcher of Worlds. And so begins a story for another day. So, Galactus is now the World Butcher. Fun. And that is Thor: God of Thunder, number 24, and we only have one issue left of this series. So, of course, we do have a few things to say about this issue, as we always do, and we'll be doing that right after this message.
You like cheap comic books, right? Well, I'm Professor Allen, and I talk about cheap comic books on the Quarter Bin Podcast. In every episode, I'll dissect a single comic from my collection, as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for the issue. Forget about $4 new comics that you can read in 4 minutes, or crossover events that can cost $100 to collect. Join me in the Quarter Bin, where even bad comics are a bargain, and good ones are a steal. The Quarter Bin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network. Visit us at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com. Or search Relatively Geeky or Quarter Bin Podcast in iTunes. I guarantee it'll be worth every penny.
And we're back. So, of course, yeah, we have a few things to talk about in this issue. Again, another great issue. A nice, solid issue here from Jason Aaron's story. You know, wrapping everything up nicely. Now, they are kind of fudging the whole Dario Agger angle of this. You know, it's widely known that Dario Agger caused all this. And so much so that he had to kind of creep away, or slither away, as the caption said. But here he is in front of everybody giving a press conference. You know, so it is a little weird. The word has got to be out that Dario Agger is some kind of monster. Unless, of course, they're just kind of counting on the fact that there weren't a ton of people there. And who cares what these Okies have to say? You know, it's a little odd. It's even, I think, a little bit... a little bit sloppy. I'm not sure if I really buy this. There's not a whole lot else to criticize here. I like the little cameo here of the She-Hulk. Yeah, with two panels. But, I mean, here you go. You're part of the Marvel Universe. And kind of making it so. I guess I'm out of touch with the Marvel Universe now, and I have been for some time. But I guess now if you need a lawyer in the Marvel Universe, you go to She-Hulk and not to Matt Murdock. But, you know, I could be wrong about that. Do people still go to Matt Murdock? Or is he still a lawyer even? I don't even know. The artist here by Agustin Alessio, I really, really like this guy's style. He does definitely hearken to the movie Thor. Thor, in his version, is a leaner person. He's not so big and buff. He definitely is a contrast from how Esad Rebic draws Thor, and how a lot of other people draw Thor, for that matter. His Thor is a lean, youthful-looking Thor. I really like the way he draws everybody. He's got a nice, not photorealistic, but still semi-realistic style. It's not highly stylized. He makes Freya look really young. And I'm not sure if that's deliberate or not.
I'm a little confused, though, and maybe somebody out there who was reading the series before Thor, God of Thunder, can answer the question for me about Freya. They're talking about her as though she raised Thor. And I don't believe that that's actually the case, at least in previously in Marvel continuity. I think they established that, you know, Gaia, of course, is Thor's mother, and they don't dispute that here. But I believe that Thor was raised by Frigg. And I don't know if they're just trying not to confuse people or what, or if they're trying to imply that you know, Freya is Frigg. I'm not really sure. And that would be kind of odd as well. Because Freya, in mythology at least, isn't she more of a daughter character to Odin than a consort? So I'm not really sure what's going on here. It just seems a little weird to me. But I'm sure that maybe in the context of Marvel continuity it makes sense. Again, I'm kind of amused by the fact that Freya's armor looks a lot like Big Barda's. It's not exactly the same. It's still definitely a Kirby-ish design without being a slavish copy of Kirby. There's a lot of that going on in this issue. Asgard, with Alessio's artwork, is almost Art Deco. It's very clean lines. It's really decorative in nature. I like it a lot. I mean, I like his portrayal of Asgard. And it's different from other portrayals we've seen, and that's always cool to see. I like the pattern work on the floors. I like the doors in Thor's hall. It's just really cool, and definitely more of the Art Deco side of things. Generally speaking, I think Alessio draws people really well, draws very believable people, with the possible exception of this little girl who moving into the skyscraper with her mother. It is, I know it's hard to draw children, and I know that's something that a lot of comic artists are bad. I mean, this is nowhere near as bad as, say, John Byrne in Legends, and the way he drew Billy Batson in Legends, like a little butterball 5-year-old, or the way he drew children in the Fantastic Four, or any of the other things he did. You know, a lot of comic artists can't draw kids, but this child is a little bit off. I mean, her head is almost as big as Thor's, and it's kind of outsized in comparison to the rest of her body. Unless she's the leader or something, I don't see why she would have trouble walking with a head that big. Anyway, then we have the last two pages here. Artwork by Esad Rebekin is absolutely gorgeous. It's a little bit unclear what's going on, what exactly King Thor is doing, other than the fact that he's world-shaping. He's just kind of scouting ahead with his daughters, or his granddaughter, sorry, and building rivers and stuff on this new Earth. And it's interesting what they're doing. Should be more clear what they're doing, maybe. But it's kind of cool, and I'm supposing that we will eventually see what happens here. And, of course, this little surprise here with Galactus at the end is cool, too. And I don't know if they're ever going to come back to that, but who knows? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. All right, and with that, it's time to wrap up the show. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. We do really appreciate it. And once again, if you want to participate in the show, we do have ways for you to do that. We have the Facebook group. Come join us there. And you can also email us at radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And with that, I am back over the Rainbow Bridge, back to Midgard, though it's kind of a long way down at this point, since Asgardia seems to be flying off into space. And we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.